Every voice, all the saints, let's sing. We're laying it down at the foot of the cross as an offering, as a sacrifice. Lord, we ask that this praise would be a sweet aroma, God, that you would feel honored. Come on, every voice, day and night, we worship.
Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day.
Amen, amen. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Bless the Lord. Yes,
good
indeed,
evening.
He's worthy. Evening, evening. He's worthy of it all. Amen. He is worthy. Indeed, He is worthy of it all. And we come this evening not in our own strength, but in His strength. Amen. We can do nothing of ourselves. We have to depend on Him, no matter how we may see it. Sometimes the situations and the circumstances seems to cloud our minds and our thoughts to believe that our God is a seasonal God. But that's a lie from the pit of hell. Amen. Our God is indeed a God of a God who is able to take us through anything that we are doing with. So no matter what we're going through, that doesn't give us the audacity or the authority to lay him aside until we sort out our own self. Amen. We need him in the good time and we need him in the bad time. We need him all year around. Amen. So we rest on his unchanging hands this evening, and we just welcome his presence in our midst. We just welcome the Holy Spirit. We welcome you all in the mighty name of Jesus. We're still looking at the book of Romans, and we're at chapter 6. Amen. It's been indeed a challenging book, because it encourages our hearts. It encourages righteousness. Amen. So it challenges us some way or the other to keep on the right path. It gives us hope. It's a book of much hope that we can really absorb the hope that we need to take us through whatever seasons we're in. Amen. Let us pray before we begin. Mighty God, we just want to thank you. We just want to praise you. We just want to welcome your holy presence here with us. We thank you, mighty God, that we can testify and say through many dangers, toils, and snares, we have already come. And we can say too that is your grace that has brought us safe thus far. And we know, mighty God, that you didn't bring us so far to leave us by ourselves. And so, mighty God, we are trusting in your amazing grace this evening. We thank you, mighty God, that you have saturated this platform with your holy presence even now. We thank you, mighty God, that there is a word for each and every one of us, a rhema word that will meet us at the very point of need, that as we should, mighty God, tabernacle with your Holy Spirit, that when this evening shall be done and out, we shall say that it was good to be in your presence. I pray, mighty God, that every heart right now will bow at your feet, and Lord, that you will pour out of your spirit upon us in a real way, mighty God, and cause there to be a connection to glory in our hearts as we hold on to you, mighty God. Let the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be accepted in your sight. You are my strength and my redeemer. Amen, amen, amen. Bless the Lord. Before we begin, I just want a one word check in. Amen. Before we begin, I just want a one word check in from you all. You can type it in the chat. Before we dive into the word, I just want to see where each and every one of us hearts are. How is your heart doing? Are you feeling tired? Are you feeling hopeful? Are you feeling heavy? Are you feeling grateful? No explanation, just type one word in the chat. How are you feeling this evening? Amen. 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 Grateful, broken yet hopeful, grateful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Yes, I'm not seeing. None of us are tired, right? Nor heavy. But this evening, chosen, my God, hallelujah, thankful. Yes, this evening, God is able to meet us wherever we are. God is able to meet us this evening. So let us all bring it to Him in worship. Amen. Bring however you're feeling this evening, just bring it to God in worship. All right, so, Let's just take a deep breath and turn our hearts to the Lord, wherever you are, wherever you're sitting, wherever you're standing, in your situation, in your whatever situation you're in. Let's just worship together. You can sing, you can simply just listen. I'm just going to play a worship song in the background. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we lift our eyes to you. We quiet our hearts. Free us, mighty God, from every distraction. Hallelujah. And prepare us to hear your word. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Can you hear the music in the background? Bless the Lord.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace.
Hallelujah. Is an ending love and is amazing grace. Amen. We can all testify of that tonight. Our God has set us free. Amen. We can worship and we can say, my chains are gone. I've been set free. Amen. Amen. So we are worshiping from that point tonight. We are receiving the word of God from that central point that we have been set free. No matter what we're going through, we are free and we are free indeed. The word of God said, whom the Son set free is free indeed. Hallelujah. So we just sung, our chains fell off. This is not just a song. It is the very truth, what Paul teaches in Romans chapter 6. So let's open the word. Hallelujah. Let's just open the word and see from it how to live in that freedom every single day. How to live in the freedom that where we are at right now. Amen. Free. Amen. So last week where Sister Kian, Minister Kian presented on the 23rd Psalm. What a blessing it was. Thank God for your sister, Minister Kian. To God be the glory. We were enriched. We were blessed by your ministry. We thank God for you. And I went ahead and I told Minister that we're going to need her back in short order. Amen. So she must be prepared. God, we're going to call on Minister Ken again, wherever she is. Amen. Bless the Lord. Yes, but when we last look at Romans chapter 5, we have seen in the last verse where Paul would have mentioned that shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? You know, and he stopped there. So we're going to start with chapter 6 and see what we can garner from it. Right there. But before we go, question for you. If grace covers all our sin, why not just keep sinning so grace can shine brighter? What are your thoughts on that? If grace covers all our sins, why not just keep sinning so grace can shine brighter?
You would be presumptuous.
Amen. You would be presumptuous. Anyone else?
The notes that I made in my journal was that grace was not a permission slip. It's not like a blank check to do whatever you want, so that God grace covers. You know, it's not a blank check to say you can sin, continue to sin, so that God's grace will cover that sin. As Ella just said, that would be presumptuous of us to say, yeah, here's a blank check. Go on, just sin because my grace is enough for you. That would be like spitting in God's face to me.
Amen.
For me, sin takes us from God, and if we continue to sin, it is taking us away from God. The relationship is breaking apart, the relationship between us and God. And it is also there are consequences for our sins.
Yes, God
Amen.
did not give us permission to continue sinning. Yes, we were not free to continue sinning because, as sister said, we have to pay consequences for our sins.
Yes, hallelujah. So the logic of abusing grace misunderstand what salvation actually does. You know, it doesn't just forgive sin, it breaks sin's power over us. So we die to sin so that we would so we died to sin, right? So why
Yes.
should we go back living in sin? You know, Paul would begin this chapter 6. Anyone there can read from verses 1 to 4. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to
Good
4.
night. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Sister Heather.
I'm gonna read. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead in to sin live any longer therein? Know he not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life.
Amen. Bless the Lord. Thank you, Sister Edda. So Paul would begin this session by directly confronting the dangerous misunderstanding of grace. Because he would have know that from chapter 5, that when he say that, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound, that people take it in the wrong context.
Thanks.
You know, if God's grace is so powerful and forgiving, then maybe we should keep sinning so that grace may have opportunity to show how great it is. But Paul immediately responded, "By no means, don't do it. God forbid, do not do it." You know, in
No.
other words, don't test grace. That's what Paul was saying there. Do not test grace. You know, Paul is shutting down the idea that grace give believers a license to sin, as Sister Allison would said. You know, instead, he shows that grace actually changes who we are. That's what grace does. It changes who we are. You know, Sister Heather would read from that passage, and it would mention about baptism as well. We see baptism as a picture. You know, question for you there. Why does Paul connect baptism with death and resurrection? Why do you think Paul connects baptism with death and resurrection? Anyone?
I think he connects it because through baptism we are saved. Through baptism we have the connection with God through Christ. There you are.
Amen. 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 Bless the Lord. Thank you, Sister Alicia. Yes, Paul uses baptism as an illustration of what happened when someone comes to faith in Christ. In the New Testament, baptism symbolizes a spiritual reality, right? The believer is united with Jesus in both his death and his resurrection. Amen. So baptism unto his death. When a person is baptized, they are immersed in water, which pictures being buried with Christ. Amen. Just as Jesus died and was buried, the believer's old self, in other words, the person who was enslaved to sin, the old Adamic nature, is now considered dead. You know, so when you go underneath the water, it shows your death to sin. You know, and we are raised to new life. So coming out of the water pictures resurrection. All right.
Amen.
When you come out of the water, it pictures type of resurrection. Just as Jesus was raised from the dead by the power of the Father, the believer is given a brand new life, one that is no longer under sin's ruling and power. So you come up as a new man. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away, you know. So it's a symbolic expression of your resurrection with the risen Lord. Baptism, when you come out of it, when you go down, it shows your death to sin.
Dead
Amen.
to sin.
Yes. So it's like a spiritual union. As Christians, we are now in Christ, and Christ's death and resurrection have become ours. Amen. So we are dead to sin and alive to God. Amen. Another question for you. What does it actually mean? Remember, I gave you the passage before time so we could read it so we can have answers to questions, or if you know, so we can share together and encourage each other. Question: what does it actually mean to be dead to sin if we still struggle with temptation every day? We still struggle with temptation every day. What does it mean to be dead to sin if we still struggle with temptation every day? No one? We still struggle with that temptation every day. So why would Paul say we are now dead to sin if we are struggling with that temptation every single day?
I think to be dead to sin, it means that we're removed from the authority and the ruling power, and it's still present, but we're still flesh. And the flesh and the spirit is still warring. So even though spirit should no longer have any dominion over us, it is still a battle
And even though we are buried and resurrected, the flesh still remains. So there's always that war, that Adamic nature of rebellion and disobedience, that's war in the tug and war between that.
Right. Amen. Rightfully so. So being dead to sin is a positional truth. Right? That's our position that we stand in now. The position that we're in, we are dead to sin. That's our position as Christians, as children of God. You know, our relationship to sin's authority has changed. We are known, sin no longer has the master over us, right? So the daily challenges are real. You know, we are going through some real life situation, but it is now a fight. We can win. We can win that fight now because we have been freed from sin's dominion. Even though temptation is still present, we are freed from sin's dominion. Amen. So we are not too confused our position with our experience. Right? We are fighting from a point of victory. So don't confuse it. Whatever you're going through, it may seem like a midnight hour that you're going through, but your position still holds. Your position still stands. You are dead to sin. That's your position. That's the position that we stand. So
That's
we,
your position. That's the position.
yes, so we are navigating from that position, right? That's our foundation. We are dead to sin, right? So we are freed from sin's dominion, even though we are still faced with present temptation. The victory isn't something that we are trying to earn. The victory over that isn't something that we are trying to earn now. It's a reality that we are learning to live out. The reality of being dead to sin. We are learning every day. We are learning to live out that reality. So being dead to sin doesn't mean a Christian is immune from sin. You know, we are not immune from it. It means sin no longer has the right or power to rule over us the way it once did.
Amen.
In other words, the old identity, being sinner by nature, has died. That old identity has died. A new identity we have now is alive to God in Christ Jesus. That has taken place right now. Amen. So grace doesn't excuse sin. It transforms our identity. The grace that God gives us, it doesn't excuse sin, but it's indeed, instead, it transforms my identity and your identity. So the heart of the passage is grace is not a get out of jail free card, as Dr. Legister would have said. You know, it's not a get out of jail free card that let you keep living the old way. Rather, grace brings you into such a closer union with Jesus that your old life ends and a new life begins. So because we are now alive in Christ, continuing in sin is no longer consistent with
It over
who
us.
we are. Living in sin is no longer consistent with who we are when we are in Christ. So in short, what Paul is actually saying, Paul is saying, you don't keep sinning because of grace, but but you stop sinning because grace has already changed you. You know, so we don't keep sinning because of grace, but we stop sinning because grace has already changed us. Amen. All right. So the old self is crucified. Romans, quickly, let's look at Romans chapter 6, verses 5 to 7. Anyone there can read. Romans chapter 6, 5 to 7.
Okay. But if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, and that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin.
Amen. Amen. And verse 7, Sister Thelma.
He that is dead is freed from sin.
Amen. All right. So Paul continue building on the same truth that he introduced between verse 1 and 4. You know, because believers are united with Christ, what happened to Christ also happened to us spiritually. So verse 5 would say that if we have been joined with him in his death, we will also joined with him in
In
his
resurrection.
resurrection.
Amen.
The same power that raised Christ from the dead is alive and well in us. Amen. So this union is the foundation of everything that follows from there. The crucifixion of the old self. In verse 6, Paul said, use a strong language. The old self was crucified with him. The old self was crucified with Christ. The old self refers to the person we used to be before Christ. The version of us that was under sin's control, enslaved to sinful desires. Amen. And powerless to break free. Paul says that this old self was crucified with Christ. And we know what crucifixion is. It's final, it's decisive, it's a decisive act. It doesn't just wound or weaken. Crucifixion is not just a scourging or a beating and then let go. It put to death. Crucifixion means putting to death. Amen. It's not just a punish, just just a little punishment where you just get flogging and you just let go or just and so it put to death. So the purpose of this crucifixion is clear. So that, you know, the word of God said that Sister Thelma would have just read. It says, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. So Paul here is not saying that our physical bodies are destroyed. It means that the power and authority sin had once over us has been broken. The old self is no longer alive to answer sin's command. So we are not obligated to answer sin's command. Amen. And verse 7 would have said it all, that anyone who has died has been set free from sin. And
Oh,
it's
Jesus.
true in every way, every angle you take it from. Just as a person died, a dead person, just as a dead person is no longer under the demands of their former life. The Christian is no longer under sin's authority. Sin may still tempt and harass and try to regain influence over your life, but it has no longer, it doesn't any longer have any legal right to rule or
No
ruling power that it
control
once had. It cannot rule over you anymore because
yeah.
you have been set free and you are standing on that foundation.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, so this is a important distinction Paul is making. The struggle is real. Amen. The struggle is real. We still have temptation. We still have weaknesses. Amen. And the pull of old habit can continue. Old habits that you used to have before you come into Christendom, it can still continue to tug on you, but you're not supposed to yield to it. You're not supposed to give yourself to it. You're not supposed to give yourself over to the demands of sin. You're not supposed to give yourself over to the dictates of the flesh. You're not supposed to please the flesh. But he said that since we have been set free, the mastery from sin that once had control over you, it has been broken. Sin is no longer our boss. So we don't need to say yes, sir, to sin. But
No.
what we can indeed say, we can say, I rebuke you in the name of the Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You have no longer no dominion over me. You are no longer welcome here. I am no longer enslaved to you. You can pack up your bongo and leave because I am not saying I am no longer you no longer control my life. Amen. So that's good news. People of God, we are not enslaved to sin anymore.
No.
Even if the temptation is there, you don't have to say yes.
Oh
Say
God.
no. No, in the name of Jesus. You know, Christians feel
Mm-hmm.
defeated because they still experience temptation and sometimes fail. Sometimes we as Christians fail. Sometimes the fail is so sudden that we don't even realize the progress that it took in order to defeat us. You know, it's like it leaves us in awe. How did this happen? How did I let myself over to be overcome or be empowered that way? And we would feel down and we would feel defeated and stuff. But Paul want us to understand that, you know, even though things like that may happen, but identify who you are quickly. I'm no longer a slave of sin. I'm no longer under sin demands. It has no right over me nor over my family. You know, you're going to draw a permanent boundary line. Amen. You're going to draw that permanent boundary line because you're not going to let sin come and rule over your life anymore because we're free. We're free people. In other words, the chains has been broken. And even if the old habits continue to pull at us, we are no longer legally or spiritually bound to obey them. Amen. So we count ourselves alive to God as we look at Romans chapter 6, verse 8 to 11. Anyone there? Before we read, Sister Camille?
Yes, Deacon. Good night, everyone. I
Good
just
night,
want to
sister.
quickly comment on the legal grounds that you mentioned, saying not having any legal grounds to stay. And I wanted to share that sometimes, because I recently had the revelation where I realized, and many people may even wonder too how we have been praying. If we have the authority that God has given us, to speak a thing and it might be so. We're living in a certain lifestyle. We are Christians, we are baptized, we're in church, and so on. But we've been praying about things like generational curses and so on. And they have, they have not be they're not being broken. What basis? What reason them have to stay there? We are praying about it, we fast about it, stuff like that, but they're still there. And we had a fast in my family to break generational curses, and we had the family meeting, and we met for prayer. And while I was preparing was when I had the revelation, that same thing about legal grounds. Because if there's legal ground, I think it is in Numbers. I'm trying to pull up the document with it. I can't find it, but I think it is in Numbers where it talks about the bird. Or is that a Numbers? No, I think it's Proverbs. Proverbs. The bird flying around, not having the authority to land. Right? I'm going to tell you exactly where. And it was compared to the curse, generational curses. When these curses are spoken, if there's legal ground for it to stand on, it's going to land. But if there's nothing there, no sin, nothing there, them have no right to be there, it's going to be like a bird, is what Proverbs would have it to say. Just lurking around, looking for somewhere to land, but not being able to land, right? But when we have legal grounds, and legal grounds, as I would have shared with my family members, it can be so many different things, being sin being one of them. And I was sharing with
Unconfessed
my
sins.
unsaved,
Amen.
unconfessed sins, right? Those family members who would have still, living in the world, they have declared Jesus as Lord and so on. These unsaved persons, and I'm saying, if the enemy has legal rights to be here, when we carry the spirit of drunkenness, when we harbor, rather, the spirit of drunkenness, when we harbor, lying and adultery, and those are just some random examples, and fornication, then these curses are not going to break. They have a right to be there. So all when we pray and we cast them out and we bind them up, because the legal ground is there, they're going to keep, they're going
They might keep happening over and over and over. But once we get rid of this, and I remember saying to them, getting rid of this could take something as small as obedience. I do think it is Proverbs. I do think that's where it is, Sister Allison. You know, and I remember saying to them, when we walk in obedience, when we confess Jesus as Lord and we put down certain things, as you would have said, it's not that we have temptations, you know, and not possibly fall in those temptations, you know, because we're human beings. We're not without temptation. The Bible says it, you know. But when we make that conscious decision, that intentional decision to at least try to walk a certain way, the moment we realize that we have fallen short, we return to the Lord and say, God, forgive me, you know, and try. Repentance mean, you know, being intentional in that. Going to repeat the sin. So it's not that you're going to do it and say, God forgive me, and tomorrow you're going to do it again, and you know, say, I'm going to do it, but you're still like, that's not repentance. But when we repent and we say, Lord, you know, I am struggling with this, help me, and the temptation come and we fight our way through, you know, that's when the legal grounds are going to be broken, and that's when we're going to experience the authority that, you know, Paul is talking about, the authority. Where the Bible talks about we can speak a thing and it can be so, where we can speak to generational curses, or we can speak to the forces of
Hallelujah.
darkness and they flee because they have no legal rights to us. You know, it's probably diverted a little from what you were saying, but because you mentioned legal grounds, I really wanted to share. So thank you.
Amen, 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 Sister Camille. Yes, legal grounds. If you have anything in your life, just like if you have a person in your life and their stuff is still like at your you have cut ties with that person and that person leave the house, but if their stuff is still in the house, they have legal rights to come back for their stuff. It's just like the enemy, the devil. If you have anything that belongs to him, he's going to come back. So if you have his lies still, if you have his dishonest ways, if you have his generalship stunt, he's going to come back because you still have things that belong to him and you're still using the things that belongs to the devil. So he's going to come back, and you know, so we have to break ties with all of that legal grounds that the enemy would have over our life, and give our life, heal ourselves as instrument unto God. Amen. Thank the Lord. All right, so Romans chapter 6, verse 8 to 11. Anyone there want to read for us? 8 to 11.
That's what I thought.
Go ahead, sis.
Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death had no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Tamaya. Bless the Lord. Amen. So, from fact, we're living from fact to faith. Amen. From fact to faith. The fact may be, the fact is, you are forgiven and made whole. Amen. That's the fact. We're living from that fact that we are forgiven and made whole. And faith in the word tells us that there is, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation, right? Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The fact is, we are a child of God. Faith in the word teaches us that, but to all who did receive him, he gave the right to become children of God. So we are operating from faith. The fact is, you know, you're a child of God. Faith in the word tells us that to all that he has received, he has given us the right to become the children of God. Amen. The fact is, we are no longer condemned. Faith in the word of God tells us that there is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. The fact is, we still face trials. That's the fact. We still face trials. Faith in the word tells us that in the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. We will have tribulation, we will have trials, but take heart. Our Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ has overcome the world. Amen. The fact is, we are not alone in whatever we are going through. Faith in the word of God tells us that I will never leave you nor forsake you. The fact may be in your life that you may feel sick, but the truth is, through the word of God, faith in the word of God tells us that you are healed. You know, by his stripes, we are healed. Amen. The fact is, maybe you feel deficient in your finances. You may feel as if your finances, the money look funny and the finances is not enough. But the truth in the word of God, faith in the word of God tells us that he can supply all our needs according to his riches in glory. You know, the fact maybe you may feel as if you are going under because so many things are just clouding your mind. You know, so many things are just in your thought, eating your life away. But faith in the word of God tells us that he is indeed close to the brokenhearted. You know, so whatever we are going through, we as people of God need to live from what faith in the word of God teaches. You know, live off that. Live off that. Amen. Amen,
Amen.
people of
Amen.
God. Amen. 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 So up to this point, Paul has been declaring what is true about the believers because of their union with Christ. But now in verse 11, verse 8 to 11, that Sister Tamar has read, he moved from truth to application. You know, from the truth to application. It tells Christians what we must do with that truth. So the key word in verse 11 is count. You know, verse 11, he said count. Or some versions say reckon. The version that Sister Tamaya read from said reckon. That's the King James Version. Or consider. You know, this is an accounting term. It means to accept something as fact and then live it, live in light of it. So Paul is not telling believers to pretend. He's not telling us to pretend or make believe. He's telling us to align our hearts with spiritual reality. That's as simple as it gets. Align your heart with spiritual reality. Count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. You know, accept as true what God has already done. Your old self is dead, and you now share in Christ's resurrection is life. Amen. So it's about our mindset. It's not a make-believe. It's about our mindset. This is not about denying the reality of what is happening around us. It's not ignoring the struggles that we face. It is about renewing the mind with what is already spiritually true. Many believers live defeated lives because they still think of themselves as slaves to sin. But Paul is saying, stop thinking that way. Stop thinking that you are slave to sin. Stop thinking that you have to do this or you have to do that. You have to bow to what the unsaved is saying or doing or whatever. Instead, deliberately remind yourself. Deliberately remind yourself, I am dead to sin's authority. I am alive to God and have his life in me. You know, and the things that I used to do, I cannot do them anymore because I'm alive to God. The music that I used to listen that let me feel so, that take away my compassion and let me feel so dangerous. You know, when I listen to those music, let me feel so dangerous. Now I listen to them no more. I listen to things that edifies me now. I don't listen to things that that break me down, you know, that make me don't have any compassion for no one again and stuff, and let me feel so wicked, you know. I don't listen to all them songs there anymore. I don't go to certain places anymore because my spirit doesn't lead me to those places because I'm now underneath a new master. I'm now underneath a new order, you know, the order of Almighty God, you know. So words that I used to speak, I speak them no more because I'm now underneath a new master. Amen. So transformation starts with believing what God says about us. Real change doesn't begins with trying harder. It doesn't begin with us trying harder, but it begins with renewing your mind to agree with God's declaration over our lives. You know, when we consistently count ourselves dead to sin and alive to God, our action gradually lined up with the new identity that we are now in. You know, when we count ourselves dead to sin, our action lined up to the new identity that we are now in. You know, in short, what Paul is saying, he's saying, don't just know the truth, but reckon it as true for you personally. Reckon it as true for the situation that you're in. Reckon it as true. You know, verse 12 to 14 said, don't let sin reign in us. So it's showing us from identity to daily practice. Don't let sin reign in us. Amen. We are transformed. We are changed people. Verse 12 to 14. Anyone there can read for us? Romans chapter 6, verse 12 to 14.
I'll read it. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace.
Bless the Lord. Thank you, sis. Bless the Lord. Sin has no more dominion over us. Amen. It has no legal grounds to come into our territory anymore. So Paul, after explaining the believer new identity in verses 1 to 11, Paul now moves into practical application. So the word therefore at the beginning, in the first few words of verse 12, it shows what he's about to say is based on everything he has already taught us between verse 1 and 11. Because we are dead to sin and alive to God, the truth should now affect how we live. You know, this truth should affect how we live. So Paul gives two clear commands. Don't let sin reign in verse 12. And he said again in verse 13, offer yourself to God. Don't let sin reign and offer ourselves to God. Verse 14 contained one of the most important statements in the entire chapter, in the entire chapter 6. For sin shall no longer be your master because you are not under the law, but under grace.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, so Paul moved now to law and grace. We are not under the law, but we are under grace. So sin shall no longer be our master. You know, under the law, people were constantly condemned and powerless to obey. Under grace, believers are empowered by the Holy Spirit and motivated by love rather than fear. So grace does not lower the standard. Amen. Grace that we have been given from Almighty God and merited favor, it has not lowered its standard. It gives us the power to actually live differently. That's what grace does. Give us the power to live differently. You know, so you will still have choices. Grace gives you the power to choose differently, even though we are living in a world that is so corrupt and everything seems to be going haywire, not aligning to the word of God. We can still live differently because we have that grace that gives us the power to choose differently, choose a different lifestyle. You know, so this is where the rubber hit the road now. Even though our whole self has been crucified and sin is no longer your master, we still have daily decisions to make. We still have to make choices daily. Paul is saying, you now have the ability through grace to say no to sin and yes to God. You know, so we can stand boldly and say, Jesus Christ is Lord. We can stand boldly and say, I have achieved this because the Lord has given it to me. We can stand boldly and say, because of Jesus, I am who I am today. We can stand boldly and pray because we now have a different identity. Amen. So grace is not just about forgiveness, but it's also about empowerment. It empowers us to be who we are. It gives us the strength to offer our bodies and desires to God instead of letting sin control them. We are no longer a slave who must obey sin. We are now free, and we to choose righteousness wherever righteousness is. We are to lean towards righteousness in everything. Amen. Yes, so verse 15 to 19, Paul would address the same objection again, because he had mentioned that grace, because we are not under grace, but under, no, because we are not under sin, pardon me. We are not under sin, but under grace. You know, so Paul again is asking that question. If we are under grace, should we continue to sin, just like what he did in verse 1? But you would have answered and said, no, by no means. Should we use grace as an excuse to sin? Not because we have the free grace, free gift of God. We must abuse it. As Sister Edda would have said, that's presumptuousness. Amen. Yes. Question before we move on. Paul says everyone is a slave to something. When we look at verse 15 to 19. 15 to 19. Let me just read through it. Verse 15 to 19. He said, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, is servants ye are ye whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, he became the servants of righteousness. I speak to the man of man of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity in iniquity, even so yield your members servants to righteousness and to holiness.
Yes, hallelujah.
So question for you. Paul says everyone is a slave to something.
Oh, yes.
Do you agree we can never be truly free?
Oh, Jesus.
Is that a yes or a no? Do you agree that we can never be truly free? Paul says that everyone is a servant to something. And the question is, do you agree we can never be truly free? Is it a yes or a no? Thinking about it? Yes. The verses that I just read, it has no neutral ground. Paul didn't have no neutral ground in it. There's no a neutral in that. Is either high or low. We are either slave to sin that leading to death. We are either slave to sin leading to death, or we are a slave to righteousness.
Holiness.
We can never be truly free. Amen. Because we are either a slave to sin leading to death, or we are a slave to righteousness
Slavery
leading.
to sin, slavery to sin.
You know, yes, either one of them, we stand on one side. There's no lukewarmness. Paul didn't mention any area where you can be comforted being lukewarm. It's either you're a slave to sin, is no one foot in and one foot out.
No.
Either you're a slave to sin or you're a slave to righteousness. So true freedom isn't the absence of a master. Being truly free is not the absence of a master. It's having the right master who actually
Yes.
life. That's where true freedom
Yes,
comes in.
there
So
with
Paul explained that no one
yeah.
is truly independent. You're not your own. You belong to Jesus and are a child
Jesus,
of
yeah,
God.
you
If
belong to
Baal
Jesus.
be God, serve Baal. But if God be God, serve him. Joshua said, as for me and my household, we will serve the
The
Lord. There is
Lord.
no in between. There is no lukewarmness. There is no bandwagonness. You have to be on one side or the other. Life or death. Choose
Is either
life.
either.
Either or either. Slave to sin, which leads to death, or slave to obedience, righteousness, which leads to life. Amen. So it's very clear. We have to have a master. Let us choose Jesus as our master.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes. We are freed from sin. We are freed. No, we are freed to righteousness. Freed from sin. We are born in sin, shaped in iniquity. We are born in sin, right? So now we accept Christ. We are freed from sin and we are freed to righteousness. So we are freed from sin to righteousness.
Yes.
Amen. So
Praise the Lord. The
freedom in
Lord.
Christ isn't doing whatever you want. It's not doing whatever we want when we have freedom in Christ. It's being freed to live righteously.
Holy life, holy life.
God, oh Lord, created your
Amen.
life.
It's free to live righteously. Paul says the opposite. True freedom is the ability to stop serving sin and start serving righteousness. That's true freedom. Ability to stop serving sin and start serving righteousness. We are no longer forced to sin. Instead, we have the freedom to give ourselves fully to what is good, what is pure, what is holy. These are the things that we're going to think on, whatsoever things are true and of a good report. And that kind of living leads to real freedom and lasting transformation. If you want to stay safe,
Righteousness.
you have to put yourself under for that lasting transformation. Amen. And to sum up this passage quickly, verses 20 to 23 that you have already read in preparation for this study, it shows two different types of outcome when you do that. Verses 20 to 23. And you know, Romans 6, verse 23. Is one of the quest the verses that many of us would put to remembrance. We'd try to remember it, right? Romans 6 verse 23. Yes. Paul closes the chapter by contrasting the result of the two ways of living he has been describing. You know, when we were slave to sin, we were freed from righteousness. Amen. When we were slave to sin, we were freed from righteousness, meaning that at that point we had no obligation or we had no desire to live rightly when we were in sin. We had no obligation or no desire to live rightly. Amen. But Paul asks a sobering question. What good did that actually produce when we lived in sin? What good did it actually produce? That's what Paul is asking there. When we had a life before, the life that we lived before we come to Christ, what good did it profit? What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? You know, the answer to that, the answer is shame and ultimate death. When we that's what sin produced, shame and ultimate death. Your lies shall catch up with you. Your dishonesty shall catch up with you. It shall be exposed. Your fornication will be exposed. Your adultery will be exposed. Everything that you do, your lasciviousness, your lawlessness will be exposed, and it will bring shame, shame on you. Look at the family that you have come through. Have you ever seen your family doing such things, son? And now you come up to bring shame on your family. No one in a family has
Oh,
ever done this
Jesus,
or that.
Jesus,
No, you
Jesus,
come to be doing this.
Jesus.
I know your family. They are godly persons. And look at you, all vagabond, all thief. It will catch upon you because it brings shame. Sin brings shame, right? And regrets. It's going to bring, you're going to have a lot of regrets. Regrets on top of regrets. You know? Yeah, in contrast, now that we have been set free from sin and has become slaves to God, the outcome is completely different. Our new life produces
Fresh life.
holiness, holiness and blessing. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life.
Your life.
Amen. Eternal life. And the famous closing verse that we talk about, Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin
Sin
is
is death.
death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our
Jesus.
Lord. That's a famous verse, and that's a well-accepted verse because it shows the wages. It shows a comparison between wages and gift. Sin pays wages. You know that, right? That sin pays wages. It
You
gives
get
you
what you
exactly,
deserve.
yeah, it gives you exactly what you earned through your
Yes.
choice. Sin pays wages and give you exactly what you earn through your choice. The payment is death, both physically and spiritually. Eternal life, however, is not earned. It is a gift. Eternal life is not earned. It is a gift. We cannot work for it. It is a gift that comes only through Jesus. Amen. It's a gift. How we apply with all this that we have been saying in Romans chapter 6, how do we apply it practically to our life? You know, one, we must stop defining ourselves by our past sin. You know, our identity has now changed. There is
Yes.
therefore no condemnation.
Not in
You know,
Christ.
when you may sometimes you're going through some failures in your life. You may be saying that quickly you think of some of the things that you used to do in the past. You're wondering if it's that contribute to it. But you're underneath a new order now. You're underneath a new master. You're under you cannot change your past, but your future, you have all authority that you can walk in righteousness and change the outcome of your future. The generational curses are now behind you when you come under the umbrella of Christ. You are now a different person. Amen. You are no longer an addict. You're no longer just a liar. You are being liberated. You have now the liberty in Christ Jesus. So when tempted, just remind yourself that that's not who I am anymore. I'm no longer this anymore. I am a child. I am now a child of God. Amen. So my habits, the habits that I have now, have to align with righteousness. Amen. And I am obedience. I don't see obedience as a pressure, but as a freedom. Don't view obedience as a pressure, but view it as a freedom that you now have. So not because the Holy Spirit that now lives in you would put up a resistance against you going to the dance hall or to the clubs or to drink away your life or whatever. Don't see that as a pressure. Don't see that your obedience to be on God's side as a pressure. You know, but see it as a freedom. You know, as a freedom, you can say, no, go on about your business. I am staying right here with my God. And you can, you know, whatever you want to do. I am doing whatever I want to do. I am no longer a slave to sin. Amen. 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 So if you're here today without having the fullness of Christ, without knowing anything about Christ, without making Christ your master, hear this. You cannot earn the wage you fear, but you can receive the gift you need. You cannot withstand, in other words, you cannot withstand the wages that you're about to get if you continue to live in sin. You cannot endure it. The wages that is about to come your way, you cannot endure it. You cannot even, it will, you know, it brings death. But you can receive the gift that you actually need. Amen. Eternal life is free. It's already paid for. Amen. Any questions before we close off this evening? Amen. Amen. Anything to share before we close off? Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Did you learn anything this evening? Did we learn anything this
Yes,
evening?
yes, 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 yes.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. All right. Let me again welcome you all. Thank God for you all. Thank God for the season that you're in. It may be a difficult one for you. It may be something that you have been through already. It may be something that you are so encouraged that you know that you can go through it without any smell of smoke left on you. But whatever season you're in, know for sure that God is in it with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So be strong, be encouraged. You know, we welcome you if you're here for the first time. We give God thanks for you coming to worship with us. Give God thanks. You are special to us. Amen. And
Right
we give
on.
God thanks. Those of
Right
you
on.
celebrating birthday, or those of you that are on vacation, we continue to pray up. Those of you that have
Somebody just running over, just my steam.
yes, those of you that has recent
Excellent. I do
accomplishments, we give
understand.
God thanks for you. We continue to bless God for Sister Jackie, such a faithful servant of Almighty God. You know, we give God thanks for her. She have a mighty testimony, and she will share it in due season. Amen. We know that Minister Lynette and Sister Grant, they are on vacation, but they are here with us still. Amen. Amen. And if you have any prayer requests, you can say it now as I put it in the chat. So Sister Tamaya, who will pray for us, will pray for those prayer requests. Amen. And before Sister Tamaya comes, we want to invite Sister Candy, who will read our reminders. Bless the Lord. Sister Candy, are you here?
Yes, I'm here. Good night, everybody.
Bless the Lord. Good night, Sister Candy.
And on behalf of the Leadership of Faith Defenders Bible Study Group, it is truly my honor and a joy to welcome each and every one of you this evening. Faith Defenders Bible Study Group mission is to bring the hope of the gospel to our community and beyond. We are a non-denominational group dedicated to knowing Christ deeply and making him known. Through the authority of Scripture, we study to grow in wisdom and to actively share our faith by inviting others into a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ and to build his kingdom one person at a time. It is our vision to see a transformed community where the hope of the gospel reaches every heart. We envision a growing body of believers rooted in the truth of God's word, who are actively and personally sharing their faith, expanding the kingdom of God one person, one small group, and one transformed life at a time. Now, for the announcements, last Thursday we had our joint midweek fellowship with Prayer Portals to Heaven. What a powerful night it was! We gathered for worship and testimony. It was a genuine breakthrough moment. If you weren't able to join us, the replay is available at www.prayerportalstoheaven.com. Mark your calendars because this Thursday at 8 p.m., we come together again for what promises to be an absolutely uplifting evening as we continue to study Acts chapter 5, hosted by our incredible partner ministry, Prayer Portal to Heaven Ministry International, right here on this same link. Be a blessing to someone else, post it on your status, and extend the invitation far and wide. Next Saturday at 8 p.m., we're looking forward to seeing your beautiful faces for our regular Bible study. Come ready, come expectant, and come hungry for the word. Go forth and shine as you step into this week. Remember, you are the gospel in motion. Win souls for Christ through the life you live and the words you speak. Every encounter is an opportunity, so make it count. I will now hand over to Sister Tamoya to lead us in closing prayer and the benediction.
Amen, amen.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, Sister Tamoya.
Bless the Lord. You know, Brother Scott, I thank you, and everyone, I thank you tonight for this word. I have been through this before, but maybe the state or the place that I am at, it hits different. It spoke volume. I mean, I sit here and I'm visualizing everything, and I'm sitting with tears in my eyes, because when you look at the place that you were in sin, and the sacrifice that was made so that you can access the throne of grace, my God, it is indeed a tremendous blessing, and we ought not to take that for granted. Amen.
Amen.
Let us unite in prayer.
Father, we come before you tonight with humble hearts.
Hallelujah.
We acknowledge, God, that we are both sinners, and we sin daily by even the very thoughts. And so we ask you, God, that you will forgive us, cleanse
yes,
us,
Lord,
as we come before your throne, Almighty God, that there be nothing that will hinder our prayers.
Oh,
Father,
Jesus,
we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise tonight for this word, for the way it was taught. We thank you for the way it was received. Almighty God,
yes,
we thank
Lord,
you for your manservant. We thank you for this portal, for the opportunity that we have to come here to dissect
Hallelujah.
And digest your word. Almighty God, we give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise, that we don't have to pay up the price for our sins, and we don't have to suffer, we don't have to struggle,
Jesus,
we don't have to continue in our sins, but we have access to your throne. We have,
yes,
through
Lord,
grace. God, we thank you that we are freed from sin and freed to righteousness. Such a tremendous blessing. God, we thank
Hallelujah.
You that even though we are so unworthy, God, because we would have perished, there is none of us and nothing that we could have done that would have excused our sins. We thank you that we don't have to suffer the consequences of our sins.
Jesus.
But Almighty God, your blood have covered it all. We give you glory, God. We thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
We might take it, others might take it lightly, and there are times, God, that we don't even look at it in depth. But this is such a tremendous opportunity that we have to touch into you.
Jesus.
Simply because of your grace. We don't have to suffer in our sins.
Jesus.
We don't have to suffer the consequences. We don't have to do anything but touch in you, but trust in you. Almighty God, but repent, but to come to you. Naked, God, we come to you. Jesus, as we confess our sins, as we repent of self and sin and iniquity, and you cover us with your grace. God, we thank you for this opportunity.
Hallelujah.
Mighty God.
So, Almighty God, we lift up each and every member tonight, everyone who's present. We pray, Almighty God, that this is a word that will not just fly over our heads, but Almighty God, that
Jesus,
it will lodge deep within our hearts, that we will ponder it in times to come.
In
Almighty
Jesus
God, that
name.
We will not be blindfolded by the enemy,
my
but
God.
Almighty God, we will remain in your grace.
Yes,
Heart into what it
Lord.
will, help us to remain, help us to abide in your grace, Almighty God.
Yes, Lord.
Mighty God.
Father, we glorify you. We thank you,
Thank you,
Jesus.
Jesus.
Mighty God, we thank you
Thank you,
tonight
Jesus.
for your grace that abound. Jesus, we
Yes,
thank you for the
Lord.
grace that abound. Almighty God, we
Hallelujah.
thank you tonight for that grace.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Jesus,
Thank you,
we thank you for your
Jesus.
blood.
Thank you, Mighty
Thank
God.
you,
We
Mighty
thank you
God.
for the blood, Almighty God, the blood that
Thank you,
saves, the blood that
Jesus.
heals. And
Thank
so
you,
we stand in the gap
Jesus.
tonight,
Yes,
Sister
Lord.
Mervyn.
Oh,
Hallelujah,
God.
Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Thank
This
you,
is your child,
Jesus.
Almighty God. This is
Jesus.
your
My
daughter.
God. My God.
And you said
Hallelujah.
in your words that by
Yes,
your
Lord.
stripes we are healed. And so we stand
Hallelujah.
in the gap for her and declare healing, Almighty God,
Yes,
of her back,
Lord.
earth,
In the
spinal
name
cord,
of
Almighty
Jesus.
God. We
Oh,
pray that
Jesus.
your blood will touch
Hallelujah.
every member
Oh,
of her body, every
Jesus.
organ, every cell, every
Yes,
system,
Lord.
Almighty God.
Yes.
Tonight we
Yes.
declare
Thank
healing
you,
in the
Jesus.
mighty, matchless name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thou art a healer, God.
Hallelujah.
We saw the
Mighty
lady with the
God.
issue of blood. All she did was touch the hem of your garments, and she
Jesus,
received
my
her
God.
healing. And we are touching in
Oh,
your garments.
Jesus.
We're touching in your blood
Hallelujah.
tonight for her sister. And we declare healing in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Mighty name of
Almighty God,
Jesus
there
Christ
is
of
nothing,
Nazareth.
nothingness that you cannot
Mighty God.
overcome.
Yes,
And
Lord.
so tonight we lift
Father,
her up, oh
yes,
God.
Father.
We place her at your
In
altar tonight, mighty
Jesus.
God.
In the name of
Father, we
Jesus.
ask you to
Jesus.
heal from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet, cause her
Mighty
body,
God,
her
thank you,
organs to
Jesus.
rejoice, Almighty God, that our testimony will be great,
Yes,
and that we'll be
Lord.
able to say, this is the
In
work of the
Jesus'
Lord.
name.
Almighty God, we pray that you will show
Hallelujah.
yourself, oh God, on her behalf right
Yes,
now, that
Lord.
your angels, Almighty
Hallelujah.
God, will be
Jesus'
attending to her,
name.
even
Yes,
through the
Lord.
very doctors, oh God. I pray that you will speak, oh God, your wisdom will be showed up
In the
through
mighty
them,
name
oh
of
God, on
Jesus
her
Christ
behalf.
of Nazareth.
We
Amen.
glorify your name, Almighty God. And we
Thank
tell
you,
you thanks for
Jesus.
answered prayer. We tell you
Thank you,
thanks for victory
Jesus.
in the
Thank
mighty,
you,
matchless
Jesus.
name of Jesus.
Thank you,
Glorify
Jesus.
you, Lord. We
Thank
tell you
you,
thanks
Jesus.
again.
Thank you, Jesus.
And we pray, oh God, as
Yes,
we go,
oh
you will go with
Jesus.
us. Be with us,
Amen.
Almighty God, we
Oh,
pray.
Jesus.
Amen.
In your
Amen.
mighty,
Thank you,
matchless name, oh
God.
God. Amen.
Thank you,
Amen.
Jesus.
Jesus'
Hallelujah.
name.
Thank
Thank
you,
you,
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Jesus.
Amen. Pray.
Amen.
Oh, Jesus.
Dear Lord.
Hallelujah.
And you know, may the saving grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Comforter, the love of God, the full fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest, remain, and abide with us now and forevermore, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank
Thank
you,
you,
Sister
Sister
Tamaya. God bless
Tamaya.
you.
Bless the Lord for you. Thank you, Sister Candy. Thank you,
Amen.
everyone. Continue to pray
Lord.
for us. Continue to pray for the Scotts and the Edwards family. We lost
We
our
lost. Have a good
cousin.
night, everyone.
We lost our cousin in
Awesome.
the course yesterday. Continue to pray for us, you know,
Will
as we go
do.
through this season.
Amen. Sorry for your loss.
Amen,
Thank you. And
Minister.
condolences.
Yes.
Darling sister.
Yes, and in spite of it all, you know, in the midst of it all. So we give God thanks.